You know, it's common and ultimately a little boring to wish everybody Happy New Year. It goes on for about a week or two. Hi, how are you? Happy New Year. And everybody talks about the New Year. Everybody talks about renewal, resolutions, change, transformation, opportunity. Anybody who goes to a gym knows that for the first week of January or two, the gyms are impossible, they're crowded, but it all falls away. Nobody holds on to their resolutions. Very few people. Very few people ever change. And there are a lot of reasons for that. One of them is that change is really hard. That getting to a place of will is very demanding. You know, I've always described this as wanting something up here in your third eye, wishing for something here in your heart, but will, needing something, is down in your navel chakra, in your gut. And very few people live from their gut. Most people live in dreaming, wanting, wishing, hoping, faith, it will happen. And very few people take control. Very few people can come to a place where they really, really want to change their lives. Most people want life to change for them. Bring me something, win the lottery. Recognize me on the street as a possible movie star. Whatever it is. But anyone who has ever achieved any kind of real transformation has done it through one thing, which is called work. Effort. There is no other way. Effort is building something from the ground up, the way things are built. You do not build something from the air down. Unless you're a writer, where it may come in this way, but then it has to become grounded. It has to become solid. And there is something called work. And work, as we all know for many people, is a four-letter word. We don't like it. We resist it. And we resist it for a lot of reasons. One of them is that it's effortful. That somehow, in order to achieve something in this world, you have to sweat. You have to toil. And if you have the opportunity not to have to sweat and toil, you don't. But most things are done with sweat and toil. And it's really interesting in our own culture at the moment that you're considered a winner if you've got a job where you don't have to sweat and toil. Easy. Got an easy life. But an easy life is not winning, it's losing. Because nothing happens. There's no transforming of you. There's no alteration of you. You stay the same until life winnows you down into a usually kind of weak, demented entity. And then you die. And what was that about? What was that about? Well, the opportunity in life to grow, to become something, to establish something, is not just about your own ego and your own desire and your own will. It's about the desire of life itself. The self itself wants what you want. The self wants to grow, to propagate, to achieve, to build, to construct, to inform, to entertain. It wants all this, or we wouldn't be here. We are part of that enormous process. And anybody who's ever built anything knows how hard it is. knows the work involved. There's an interesting force that arises in the effort to build, in the effort to just be. And that's called resistance. Resistance is an extraordinary energy force. So you have the desire to do and the desire to not do almost simultaneously. And out of that struggle, most of us create lives. It's even said, and I've talked about this before, and I'm not a physicist, but I've read that the first force that came after the Big Bang in the universe was resistance to the Big Bang. They arose almost at the same time. Desire to expand, desire to contract. And we're all caught in that. We're all caught in that dynamic. And most of us in that being caught are very uncomfortable. It's hard. It's often brutal. But the difference between a spiritual life and a unconscious life is that when you are aware of that struggle and you are aware of that demand, you don't fight it. You just say yes. Yes. And how do you say yes to the demand of life? Because it's big. Well, I'm always reminded of the Bobby Kennedy approach. When he became Attorney General, he went into his office and he saw a stack of papers that big on his desk. And he looked at it and said, "There's no way. There's no way I can handle all of the demand that life has in front of me." And he tried to figure out what he should do, and then he arrived at what I call the most brilliant of solutions. He went to the top of the list and he took one page. He looked at it. Done. Another page. Done. It's simple. You do the one thing that's in front of you, one thing at a time. You do everything one thing at a time. And if you do everything one thing at a time, that list keeps going down until they bring the next pile, and then that goes down, and that's really life. There you are, guys. So how do you do that?
I hate this.
Or That's the difference between an unconscious life and a spiritual life. And Rudy was very smart in understanding that we all resist life, that we resist it and we suffer it. And so he gave us this exercise that says, please help me to surrender. Please help me to surrender. And what does that mean? It means you ask for help, very important idea, and to surrender is to get out of your way. When you get out of your way, the amount that you can do and accomplish in life is phenomenal. When you are in your own way, very little gets done. When you're in your own way, it means that your mind is trying to understand what you want. You're feeling your passions, your desires, your hungers, all of these things, and then you're looking at life and going, well, not that, not that, not this, not that, da, da, no, no, maybe this one, maybe that one, and almost nothing gets through. When you're surrendered, you see what arises. You see what arrives in your life. And when you see what arrives in your life, you know it arrived for you. You look at what emerges, you look at what's in front of you, and you go, You don't judge it, You don't reject it. You don't even accept it. You just go, And what it is explains itself to you. It clarifies itself. And then it either is something you act on or something that doesn't have to be acted on. But it's there for a reason. Stuff doesn't arise in your life for no reason. The stuff that arises in your life is you. It's you. I often talk about this as the cocktail party phenomenon. You go to a cocktail party and everyone you don't want to talk to comes over. And you keep trying to figure out, how do I get out of this person? Because you want to be with that person over there, or you want to be with that one. Why isn't this person talking to you? There's all of this stuff going on in your head, and you're never with anyone. You're never with what's in front of you. You're always looking away from what's in front of you. And so you end up with a very unsatisfying cocktail party, because you never, ever engaged what was there. What happens, which is really interesting and worth trying in the next cocktail party you go to, engage the person in front of you. Just engage them. Doesn't matter why they came there. That's not, you don't know why. They came because they're a part of your own being who has appeared in front of you. Why should you reject that? Just talk to them. Be open to them. You will almost always discover one of two things. They have something very important to deliver that you aren't prepared for. A piece of information, a way of being, a way of looking, that just comes through, or your deep openness to them frees you of having to engage or disengage, and they would move on. They'll talk to you, you go, and then they're gone. Easy, easy. No big deal. That's life, guys. Stuff comes, and the big stuff, you go, And it's always surprising where it comes from. Comes from all over the place. If you are closed and judging and in your brain and trying to resist what's arising, you'll miss all of the teaching. You'll miss your entire spiritual life and you'll miss your entire material life. If you open to it, it comes through. It changes. I saw an interesting movie the other day called Another Year, in which this really sweet couple, really good people, kind of people you never see in movies. They tend to their garden, they tend to their friends, they tend to their children, they just do what's in front of them. And one of the people they attend to is a woman who's very neurotic, just very neurotic, and she's constantly trying to pretend to be really happy and everything's wonderful, but you know it's not, and they know it's not, she knows it's not. And she's always reaching for the thing that's unattainable. She always wants to date, go out with, be with people who are never going to be interested in her, ever. And they present her with a person who is kind of heavy, overweight, a bit of an alcoholic, but so is she. And they say, you know, he's alone. He's alone. And would be, you know, maybe somebody you could, you know, be with. And she just goes, why would I ever be with somebody like that? At one point, this person actually opens the door to her as a possible person in her life. And she slams it instantly in his face. What's so intriguing, because she's so like so many people I know, is that the packaging for her was wrong. The packaging was wrong, but the content was clear and immediate. He was everything life could offer. Love, connection, humanity, possibility, opportunity, everything. In the wrong package. And so she rejected the package and missed life. Just missed life entirely. And the difference between someone like her and these good people who have taken her into their lives is they have just accepted life as it comes. You can see it. You feel it in them. They tend to the ground. They tend to the plants. They tend to what's there. And she's always looking for the next thing, the next one, and it never comes. I mean, it does come. That's the sad part. It does come, but not for her, because she is in rejecting mode. Please help me to surrender means to open to the stillness of being that knows what's real, that knows itself. So when the self appears, it can be acknowledged, embraced, loved, and accepted. And what's so amazing is that when you go to the cocktail party and all of these wrong packages come in and they're standing in front of you, there's a part of your mind that's going, yes, yes, no, no, yes, maybe, I don't, going through this whole thing. And what it's really doing is it is expressing this endless judgment, and that endless judgment is your ego. If you want to know what your ego looks like, watch yourself at a cocktail party. It's so interesting. You are designing life according to your desires, wishes, hopes, and ambitions. So life is bringing you all of this stuff, and it's being filtered through this yes, no, yes, no, yes, no thing, which is basically very small, very critical, very unintelligent, and has no wisdom at all, meaning a larger vision. So you are dissecting your life as it arises, and you are destroying everything that comes at you. Surrender is to open to what is there and watch what it wants to do. Wisdom is knowing that it has arisen to help you and to serve you. And true wisdom is to know that everything that arises serves everything. Even the stuff you don't like, and perhaps even especially the stuff you don't like. Because the stuff you don't like is really showing you where you are shut off, where you are limited, where you are in some way not available to what is. And if you want to grow spiritually, the whole practice is surrender, the whole practice is be open, be available, non-judgmental, not discriminating. Try to understand there's a difference between discriminating, which is to be aware of this has good elements and that has bad elements, and then there is this thing of just rejection, which is no, 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 yes, 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 which is not discriminating, it's just judgment based on ego. When you open the door to possibility, when you open the door to just being, when you open the door to accepting what is, you open the door to life, to transformation, to true change, to true growth, and this idea of renewal, of resurrection, if you will, this idea of resolution starts to make itself known. The new year is no longer about mind judging, I will do this, I will do that, because the mind can't hold on to any of that. It's too weak. Even the mind at deep will has a struggle, although it's possible. What really transforms is being open to what is. It's so simple. You don't have to think about going on a diet. Something in you just stops eating the wrong food. You don't have to debate going to the gym and trying to have a new regimen in your life. Something in you wants to do that. It arises naturally because it's natural in you, because what's good for you comes up. The thing that wants to build a life arises. The thing that wants to engage the struggle of life happens. You're no longer in battle mode. You are participating in this enormous creative vibrancy of existence. That's who you are. It's what you are. That's what you're here to do. You're not here to meditate your life away. You're not here to pretend this isn't real. You're here to know there is no reality but this. And your hunger is the hunger of being, the hunger of the universe. Your desires are the desires of the universe. They're all there for a reason. It all comes up for a reason. And when you truly surrender to that stuff, the stuff that really makes sense emerges. The stuff that doesn't make sense, the stuff that's clearly chaotic bullshit in your head, you know, the stuff that tells you, oh, I've got to be, you know, I got to be at that party at 9 o'clock because if I don't do that, and if I don't do this, then this is going to happen and that's going to happen, that goes away. And something in you goes, I can choose to be at that gathering or not. I think I'll go. Comes from a totally different place. I will be conscious in my choices. So desire is no longer this crazy, chaotic, emotional condition. It comes from this place of real wishing, real wanting. The desire for a career no longer is just a dream. A desire for a career becomes, I will build this thing. I will make this happen. I will do the work. Now, we all have to deal with what we call circumstance. Sometimes the world is not about to give us the thing we want, at least not in the moment that we want it. You have to allow the universe time to orchestrate what you want, to be able to deliver it. My career was a good example. I wanted my career since I was 5 years old, but it didn't arrive till I was 45 years old. But what I wanted was something very big. And the universe can't just go, okay, here. It has to go through its transformative sort of reworking of itself to deliver what you truly want. And it will do that. But a number of conditions have to be met. One of them is that you do the work that make that possible. And two, when it arises, you engage it completely. And in my case, it took a long, long time. But it delivered everything I wanted, which is really kind of amazing. And then I realized in getting everything I wanted, what it really was about, what it meant. The best thing about getting everything you ever wanted is that it doesn't deliver what you want. And there's no way to know that until you got it. So you got to go out there and get it. And then when you get it, this extraordinary thing happens. It wasn't the thing that you wanted, it was the being that reached and grew and expanded in order to have it. The being that grew, that emerged, is what you wanted. So it's possible, honestly, to not get what you want and to really get what you want. Because what you want in the end, and the only thing that you actually become in the end, is yourself. You don't become your resume. You don't become the stuff you hungered for. You become that reaching and ultimately absorbing element, this entity that is life itself. That's who you are. That's what you are. That's what you get. That's what you've always been. And the realization of that is profound. Because nothing in you suffers what you didn't get. Nothing in you suffers what you did get. There's just this extraordinary acknowledgement of life force, which you always had, and which, if you really open to a spiritual life, you've given full vent to. You lived a full, dynamic, real life. Living a full, dynamic, real life is what you want. It's what it wants. It's what's wanted, period. In the idea that there is no me, you, I, or it, life is just this happening thing, and you are part of that. You are the happening thing. And what every happening thing wants in life, just look at a tree or a plant or a blade of grass. I'll tell you what it wants. It wants to be, to grow. And then when it stops growing, which they all do, it starts to go through the withering phase and the dying phase and the retrieval phase and the falling away phase. And what you discover when all of that starts to fall away, if you're really lucky, is that you are not the arrival of possibility and the diminishment of possibility. You are the very force itself that arises and diminishes. You are life force, expanding, contracting, and just being. Just being. That's what you are. Even right this moment, that's what you are. And if you are caught up in the, oh, I'm expanding, oh, I don't want to contract situation, it's still going on, but you're lost in your judgment. You're lost in your ego mind. If you can let that go, which you really can't, but it will at some point fall away, then you just become the breath of life. Welcome to yourself, to who you are, to what you are. Infinite, endless life, wanting to be, renewing itself, and being again. Endlessly, endlessly, endlessly. And at the core of that being is something so mysterious, so magical, so wondrous, so unnameable, so unclassifiable, that you can't get your mind around it. You can't get anything around it. What you realize is you are it. You just are it. Then you go on and enjoy your life. Same old, same old. Create, wither, have fun, don't have fun. Have a great life, have a terrible life. It's your game, guys. You got it. You're in it. Have a great time, have a terrible time. It doesn't care. It doesn't care. I mean, it would like to have a good time, just like you want to have a good time. But if you're really going to have a good time, open to life. And don't limit it with your brain and your mind and your desires and your expectations. Just open to life. What do you want? Go for it. Build it from the ground up. Take the time, make the effort, because it won't happen as a dream. It won't happen as a sort of a mild little thought in your head. It takes everything in you to have a life. It takes everything. So go for it. Changing the subject. I honestly thought, I mean, this year has a lot of new things for me, but one of them is this musical. And I thought I was leaving for London originally at the end of January, then it got pushed to the end of February, and then it just got pushed to the middle of January. So I think next week may be my last class, and possibly one more beyond that, but I don't know. I tell you that for a number of reasons, but just to give you some sense of the schedule. Class will continue here, whether I'm here or not. But there will be people teaching. But the question that comes up, and I think it's really important, if there was no class, if there was nothing here happening at all, what drives you? What drives you? What will you do? How will you manifest your own spiritual effort, your own life effort? What will you do? And I ask you that more for you to think about it, because in the end this won't be here, and you may be, and where will you be, and what will you do? How will you govern and manage the rest of your life? It's a really important question, and I think you just need to acknowledge it and think about it. Because, you know, Rudy died, and I thought that was impossible. I don't know if I'm going to die, but I just know that things change and pass on, and the only thing that keeps you going is if you have your own rudder in the water. How do you get your rudder in the water to steer yourself through the craziness of this existence? Figure that out. Any questions? Okay, thank you.